Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actor-comedian podcaster Jason Horton talks about his childhood home and the person who lived there that wasn't part of the family.
Regular day, regular things are happening, and then I look at your stepfather, and he's white as a ghost. And he is not someone who is haunted every other week, where it's like, okay, this is another thing. And she said he's completely white. She's like, you can see the hair standing up in the back of his neck. And she's like, what is wrong? And he's like, did you see her? And she's like, did I see who? She's like, did you see the little girl in the yellow dress? And he says, she just ran by into my sister Jennifer's room.
Today on the show, Jason Horton from Ghost Town talks about growing up in a house that was haunted. Stay close.
Hey, this is Jason Horton. You're listening to Storyworthy.
Hey! Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys had a chance to listen to the show last week with comedian and actress Mary Lynn Rice Cub. Jason, you told me you did some stand-up with her?
I was on a show that she was on, and I actually went up before her. Oh, no, I went up either before. I think I went up before her, and I was like, I'm glad I'm going up before her, not after, because she's so funny.
Yeah, she's so good.
And not that my ego is fragile. So, but it was great. I mean, it was like an honor
for
me.
She's whip smart. Just super smart. And her story last week was about getting into a situation with two other women and moving out and purchasing this big house in the valley and living there almost like in a commune.
Interesting. Kind of sharing
all the space and the meals, and they'd have bonfires. And then, if you can believe it, it didn't work out.
What? Was it a cult?
Well, there was,
could have been if they would have stuck with it.
If they had stuck with it, they weren't that committed. But the point is it's super interesting and very unlike Mary Lynn from what I know of her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really good. You've got to go back.
It's like a divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
But worse, because it was a house.
Very much so. Huge, tumultuous ending, for sure. So you guys go back and listen to Mary Lynn's story, but not today, because today I am here with broadcaster, a comedian, podcaster.
Sure, yeah.
Makes more sense.
Writer, actor, comedian, podcaster.
All those things.
Negative bank account holder.
Exactly. You just wear many hats. And Jason Horton, you come forth with the topic, My Haunted House.
Yeah.
Which is so intriguing.
Yeah. I think the word haunted automatically is like, oh, I want to hear more about this. Especially because I'm a skeptic. So I'm coming at this from a skeptic.
So I can't wait to hear it. Now, when I was a kid, it was a big thing to scare each other. I don't know what that was all about, but we would, we always tried to, we used the Ouija boards, we would try to levitate people, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
I never mess with that.
We did that all the time. And I have four sisters, so there was a lot of estrogen in our house. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but we could do some crazy stuff like that.
You guys were like, what is it?
A Wiccan coven?
Yeah, coven. Yeah, yeah.
It was like
a Wiccan coven, yeah.
My poor brother. But, I don't know. Maybe because also my mother always believed in that stuff. And then I always read a lot of Stephen King.
And you're from the area. I feel you're from an area that is kind of perfect for that, right? The
Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
because it's like
ice cold steel mills.
Yeah, the Ohio Valley.
Yeah.
A lot of woods. One time I was flying into Pittsburgh with my daughter, and she looked out the window of the plane and she said, "Mama, who planted all the trees?" That's funny.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny.
It's,
yeah, it's like, yeah. No, they're just there. We live in the woods.
Yeah.
Anyway, So other than that, okay, so those experiences when I was a kid, like kind of all that whole female energy and some weird stuff was going on. Beyond that, I don't really have any haunted house stories, but my sister says that her house is haunted. My ex-boyfriend says that his house is haunted. I mean, and they'll tell you that.
Are you haunting his?
Yes, that's I'm doing
so
that haunting.
You've been haunting, but you haven't been haunted.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
No, but it's true. But people that I trust and I believe in will tell me that they have had these haunted experiences, as clear as I'm telling you, we're going out to eat or something, you know, like that's what they believe. Have you had those experiences?
No.
Except for this,
and this is a recent reminder and discovery, so it's a pretty new thing
for
me.
We're going to get to that. Let's get to it, man. I'm very excited. Hey, Jason, I want to tell you about this new investing app I recently found.
Yeah.
It lets you buy stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free, and it's called Robinhood. You guys, Robinhood is an amazing app that you get right there on your phone. It's totally free. Robinhood is simple and intuitive, and it has a clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. And that's what I need when I'm talking about my finances.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be confused. I don't want to not know what I'm looking at. And here's the thing. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees at all, and you keep all of your profits. The design is easy to understand with charts and market data, and you can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. So learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track favorite companies with your personalized news feed. And right now, you guys, Robinhood is giving Storyworthy listeners a free stock, no kidding, like Apple or Ford or Sprint, to help you build your portfolio. No kidding. Head over to storyworthy.robinhood.com. That's storyworthy.robinhood.com and get yourself a free stock. You guys are going to love Robinhood. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. So again, head over to storyworthy.robinhood.com and get yourself a free stock. You're welcome. I love investing when it's not too hard. You know, if it's complicated, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Before we get to Jason's story, I did want to remind you guys to head over to storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list, because, you know, why not? And you can also listen to Storyworthy. Well, you know all the places, but I have to tell you, people are telling me it's more important to go to Apple Podcasts than anywhere else. That's what I've been hearing lately, Jason.
That's what's all happening.
So if you guys could go over to Apple Podcasts and just subscribe, rate, and review, then I don't care if you listen on Stitcher or NPR One or just on the actual, what they call the laptop computer.
Sure. It's like buying your snacks.
The website.
It's like buying your snacks outside of the movie, but then going bring it into the movie.
Exactly.
I don't know.
It is exactly
everyone
like that.
Wins.
So subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I don't care where the hell you listen to the show. And also, please tell your friends and family. Would you do that? It's a brand new year, 2019.
Yeah, we're in it.
We're in it. I think today's the 31st.
Yeah, so
tomorrow
we're going to be really in it.
At midnight.
We're kicking this off.
Yeah.
I think
it's going to be a really good year.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited. All right, you guys, he's here right now. As you know, Jason Horton, like you said, he's a writer and a comedian, and he's performed stand-up all over Los Angeles.
And Europe. I just got back from Europe.
I saw that recently in Europe.
I mean, I was in Berlin and Prague, and I tried to get a show in Copenhagen. English-speaking clubs, and they're usually near hostels, so...
Yeah, right.
It was like an instant audience, and people are like watching, and they laugh, and they don't look at their phones. So I was like, what's happening here?
What a blast.
I'm confused. It was
great.
Did you
just take the Eurorail around, or...?
No, I went with my wife. It's kind of like a vacation, and we just Airbnb'd it, and it was very exciting. Yeah.
How did you book the gigs?
I just reached out, and
that's
beautiful. I think they're just, you know, you're here, and they're usually cool, and you're, you know, maybe from Los Angeles. I don't know if that means anything.
Sure.
Look at your social media, whatever, and it adds up, I guess.
No, I think it all adds up.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, that makes a lot of sense now that there is social media, and the fact that, you know, these numbers do add up to something, because now you have credibility, even if they've never seen your face.
Sure.
So it's almost like social media is your own personal manager.
Yeah. It's vetting you.
It's working for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, you've been in the film The Thinning, New World Order.
It just came out.
Okay. Yeah. On YouTube, and also YouTube Originals.
Yeah. So you have to pay for it. But you get a month free, but it'll be on Netflix soon as well.
What is The Thinning, New World Order?
It is a sequel to The Thinning, the original. It's like a dystopian future young adult type thing, like a Hunger Games, Maze Runner type thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's great. Michael Gallagher and Steve Green wrote it, and Michael directed it. And I've been, how I got popular-ish on YouTube is because of Michael, who directed it. So now he's putting me in all his movies.
That is so
that's where we're at
now.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's a good.
That's a wonderful transition.
Movie. Yeah.
Now, do you think my daughter would be into that yet? She's going on 12.
I think it's good. Yeah? It's hitting. The star of it is this guy Logan Paul, which he's a little polarizing with people. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's been. If you look up his name, it's not
Logan Paul.
You know, yeah. But I'm not here to, a lot of people made the movie, he's fine with me, but he's, you know, made some mistakes.
Yeah, sure.
I'll say that. But, so, you know, and this girl Peyton List, she's from Disney, so there's a lot of really cool people in it. So it's really hitting that, I'm not the demographic, and I don't like looking at myself in on a big screen, but yeah.
What's the role you play?
I play a teacher. But that's okay. The thing, is it's teachers and students.
Totally,
so
I play
a teacher, and I'm wearing a sweater vest.
Is it fun?
It's fun because we got to one of the days we filmed, and I didn't realize we were going here. We filmed at the abandoned Hawthorne Plaza Mall.
Wow.
And I love abandoned places.
Yeah.
It ended up on Ghost Town. So it all Fantastic. Kind of worked. It was very exciting for me.
Oh,
yeah.
Good,
like, I don't care about the movie part. Do you realize where we are? This has been on my bucket list.
That is just great. And speaking of Ghost Town, that is your podcast mm-hmm. that the AV Club calls Compelling.
Yes.
And the show was recently on the top of the comedy iTunes charts. And that ain't nothing.
Yeah. It's been on and off that... For the last couple of months. It's been really great. Yeah,
that's really exciting. You guys can find Ghost Town over at Apple Podcasts, like we said, or on Spotify or Stitcher, you know, all the regular places. And you can find Jason over at Twitter at Jason_Horton. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jason Horton.
I got a call from my mother, and she was talking to me about the podcast, and she was like, oh, have you talked about the little girl in the yellow dress? And my blood runs cold. Immediately. And I'm like, what? And she's like, you know, the little girl in the yellow dress. I mean, that's already terrifying. That's what horror movies, it's so specific. It just chilled. Like, even though as I'm talking about it now, and I'm talking about it with my mother, which came out of left field. She doesn't talk about haunted stuff or being haunted. She doesn't have, you know, she's like middle class, like from New Jersey. She doesn't have time for that. So when she's telling the story, it's like, I remember being told the story, but I think I might have suppressed it when I was, I probably was about 8. I was living in New Jersey. We were living in like the Bergen County area of New Jersey. And I lived with my sister, my mother, and my stepfather. My stepfather and I did not have a great relationship. And that's what makes this a little bit heavier for me. As she's telling it, it's why it's just the people involved and how she's telling me, she's springing on me. It's not like she's like, I'm going to call you an hour and tell you a scary story. I thought we were going to talk about, like, you know, did you get a job yet? That kind of stuff. No, she doesn't care if I don't have a job. She's cool. She doesn't care. So she, and I'm like, no, I tell me about it. And I'm like, hold on, let me record it. So I pull out my, I pull out my Zoom, my little tiny Zoom. And I'm like, let me record this. And she starts telling me the story. She's like, when we were living in the house in New Jersey, I was, you know, regular day, regular things are happening. And then I look at your stepfather, and he's white as a ghost. And he is not someone who is like, oh, is haunted every other week, where it's like, okay, this is another thing. It's like, she's like, I never heard about him being haunted or being scared of ghosts. And she said he's completely white. She's like, you can see the hair standing up in the back of his neck. And she's like, what is wrong? And he's like, did you see her? And she's like, did I see who? She's like, did you see the little girl in the yellow dress? And my mother is like, what are you talking about? But she's believing it because he is completely, like, not himself. And it's like, you look like you've seen a ghost. That's literally the look. And he says, she just ran by into my sister Jennifer's room. And my mother's like, so that kind of, I guess that kind of, like, subsided. And then so, like, I would say maybe a year and a half go by. And we're all moving out. I think we were moving either somewhere else in New Jersey, or this is when we might have moved to New York. You know, New Jersey, you get priced out. We went moved to a little bit upstate outside of the city. And they're bringing stuff outside. My mother goes back inside and sees my stepfather again, white as a ghost. Hair standing up in the back of his neck. And she's like, what's wrong? He's like, I just saw the little girl in the yellow dress. And she's like, and my mother's like, and what happened? And she's like, and she was crying. And she told me she was crying because we were leaving. And that's what happened. Even me telling this right now, it's like, it's so vivid and so terrifying because I was in that house. And after that, because we didn't move out right away, even though we started moving out, the house was robbed, they think, but nothing was taken. There was nothing missing. All the doors were open, right? But there was no forced entry and nothing was taken. It's just like every door, cabinet, things turned over and nothing was taken. And there was no forced entry. They just came back and it was like that. And it was sealed shut because we still had stuff in there.
So how old was the house?
Well, I did a lot of research after that. I actually had somebody I knew who is a sort of a private investigator look into it because I wanted to know if there had been any occurrences of a little girl in a yellow dress, if there had been any murders, crimes.
Yeah, and families,
in there.
Who?
The house is, I think, is from 1905. Cause this would have been about, I'm not a millennial, so this is probably about 1980. So the house is built in like 1905. It's like a brick, like a sturdy brick New Jersey house. And we did a bunch of, he can only find so much for the amount of what I was willing to kind of pay to find out. And I did my own research, and I've seen other occurrences of little girl in yellow dress on the internet, not necessarily related, but I had looked into it after that, like pretty deeply, to find out if there was anything that was like somebody else saw it. There was, somebody died there. And plus, the records don't go back. If something happened in 1906, there'd be.
But how old is the house?
It's 1905.
Oh,
it was built.
Built
in 1905. Yeah,
that's an old house.
It's an old house. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to find this picture of me. But when I was 3 years old, I wore a yellow dress in this photograph, like this formal photograph of me. And now that's all I can think about. I was a little girl in a yellow dress.
Yeah.
So tell me more about what your mom, I mean, did she, what did her experience, what was her experience?
Her experience is, again, she is like very matter of fact. She's, she's a little bit superstitious, in that sense, because she kind of like, she was Jewish and Catholic, whatever. It came back to being Catholic or whatever. So she had a little bit of that kind of Catholic superstition, whatever kind of comes with that. But at the time, she didn't realize, I think she just was, what he was telling her, whether she believed it or not, she's like, she believed that he believed it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you have people who you totally, trust and relate to, and or their family or not, but that somebody that you know that they wouldn't bullshit you, and they've seen it or something happened, and they say it that matter-of-factly, like, how could all those people be wrong?
And so much time pass in between both. It's not like he brought it up like every third day. He's like, I just saw her again.
Right.
When that's what I really asked my mother, is like, what was the pattern? Because if there's a pattern of, now he's always seen, which is not to take away from it, but it's a little, it's just a little less intense that the fact that there was all this time pass, he may have even forgot. And then when we were moving out, this little girl was upset. Usually it's like the ghosts don't want you there. I guess this one wanted us there, and she apparently would go and then when she was crying and left, she went back into my sister's room.
Wow. And what would be the motivation for them to make this up anyway? You know what I mean? Like, why would it be?
It's not the kind of people to do it. It's not even like there's internet or there's, people that kept this on camera. There was like no really incentive or motivation to lie about it.
And so vivid as well, because it's not like just an apparition that just kind of floats through the room or then you feel a cold spot. I mean, this was like, did it take human form then?
Yeah, no, it was human form, and he was not, it's not like, I even asked, I was like, was he, and he wasn't like a big drinker, I think he smoked cigarettes, kind of regular, so it's not like he was, doing drugs, and I asked those questions, because
you were looking at it, you were dissecting
I
it.
I wanted a pure, just if you told me that story, I would ask you those questions.
Right, because otherwise, otherwise, why would you even get involved? Because if you thought it wasn't authentic, then it would be a complete waste of your time.
I was looking to poke holes in it.
Yeah.
That's the skeptic in me and the fear in me was looking to poke holes. That's what we do when we rationalize things that we're afraid of, and that's what I did. And you know, your childhood is so, you know, you remember what you remember, or you don't know what, or maybe you've told yourself you remember something or don't, and it's such a weird time, and you remember little bits, and then you're automatically teleported back in that house.
Absolutely. It becomes so vivid, your childhood. Yeah. And, you know, even when my dad was dying, I was with him at the very end, and he was seeing and feeling things from his childhood and talking about it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. And it's there. It's in there.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Yet you don't remember what you had for dinner last night.
I had lobsters because I'm rich.
You lie.
Like two lobsters. I had M&M's for breakfast.
You had M&M's?
Right. For breakfast.
For breakfast.
Yeah. So I didn't have it for dinner.
It's not even Halloween or anything.
I know.
But why did you just have M&M's hanging around your house?
I don't know how they got there.
Yeah. But, I mean, did you stop at 7-Eleven and pick them up? Or?
I was like, I want M&M's. I was in the mood for M&M's. Not that I'm ever not in the mood for M&M's, but I was like, I want plain M&M's.
You know what I used to, or I still have, sometimes I have a craving for, is a Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
And that takes me right back to my childhood.
Underrated.
They are underrated because it's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
The nougat, whipped, and the milk chocolate.
Yeah, it's light.
Light and airy. I think it's like half the calories of a regular chocolate bar.
Oh, you're pretty much dieting when you're eating that.
Pretty much. And also a lot of folks like a Snickers, and I always found that too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to be satisfied. So they want to satisfy me. I don't want to be satisfied.
It did not satisfy me. And frankly, too many nuts.
I like the act of pick chips and dip. I like putting pieces of things in my mouth. So
interesting.
So that's, I like that action.
I like more of a salty thing.
Well, I think I just like anything. M&M's, I can take one. I can take them and put it in my mouth.
I see what you're
chips
saying.
Or the idea of that
Junior
motion.
Junior Mints. Sure. Your Necco wafer.
Sure. That's old school. The Necco wafers is old school.
We used to take our Necco wafers. Now, see, this isn't what you did at your house, but at my house growing up Catholic, we would take the Necco wafer play
communion. Yeah.
The body of Christ, you know.
I'm surprised you didn't stir up any
I am loving this podcast, Ghost Town. Super fun. Tell us more.
I'm a huge fan of historic places that have been abandoned, especially malls and amusement parks. And my co-host Rebecca, she does haunted tours in Los Angeles. She loves haunted. So we just kind of, we've been writing together for years. So we just kind of got together and
that
put
is
both
so
those things.
Wonderful. Yeah. Like two minds that are thinking alike. How about in a mall if they're, you know, they're abandoned and then there's weeds growing inside.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. I watch videos and look at pictures all day weirdo.
You?
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, mall culture is very fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, we've gone to mall. We grew up going to malls.
Totally. The parrot cage in the middle of the mall.
A Ferris wheel in the middle of the mall.
Yeah. The Christmas display, the little train going around. I had my ears pierced when I was 12 at the Piercing Pagoda in the middle of the mall. Yeah. And I passed out. Threw up, passed out, fell off the stool.
It's not good for business.
Then they carry me over to the bench underneath the parrot cage where my mother makes the lady pierce my other ear because she had already paid.
Oh, yeah. You know,
so I'm laying on the bench and they're going, you know, in my ear. Now if you get your ears pierced, and this is just some basic information, they do both holes at the same time.
And you can get it on Amazon.
Getting your ears pierced.
Oh, really? Do double?
Two guns, they go.
Is it one person doing two guns or is it a different person?
It's one person with four arms.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd go there just for that alone.
Okay, wait, stop. Okay, so go back to Ghost Town. Tell me more.
And I think the fact is that we are coming from we're super passionate, enthusiastic about it. And I feel like we'd be talking about it anyway.
Yeah.
And people are really, there's no end to people being interested in the subject matter we're talking about. It's not like, sometimes you listen to an interview and it's like, I'm only here for this person. You know, that happens sometimes.
Sure.
Or you're just there for the host or whatever the case may be. I think this is the subject matter will always be the star of it. And then we're always searching more things. And then we just put out an episode about the JonBenet Ramsey house.
Oh, so man, tell me.
We go back into that a little bit and we discuss the house a lot because it's place-based. But then, of course, you know, we go through our theories, and then the fact that it's on that 24-hour news cycle, and it was always being covered, and that, and it's pretty recent. It's pretty fresh. So I think a lot of people are like, yeah, I remember that, instead of talking about something that happened maybe in 1950.
Exactly. Well, that particular story, I had Michelle McNamara on the show talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case. And that is just so, it's still so elusive what possibly happened.
But I feel like the answer is right there.
Yeah,
right,
but
in front
now
of
the
us.
Parents are both dead.
I know.
The son is there, Ramsey, right? Wait, what's his name? Derek? No.
Yeah. I don't know why I want to say Brooke, but we just did a whole thing of it.
But the point is he's around, but other than that, everybody's dead. He's the only one alive, and I think he was like 9 at the time or something, maybe 10. So what could he... But the thing is with that story is there's so many details, like the ransom note, and then there's just all these like bizarre big things that, you know, in using their stationery, but yet having the time to have written all this out, and the exact number was the bonus that the father had just received from his job.
And the way they let kind of people trample through there without like being like, no, this is a closed off area. So it became a contaminated
immediately
crime scene.
And then they left for Atlanta that night. Like they just split. They found her Christmas morning, and by Christmas night, or maybe it was early the next day, they went, they left, they left.
Well, we go into, you know, check out the episode. We go into kind of the house itself.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And then I think it's just one of the ones that, you know, I think people... are not tired of hearing. So we talk about some things that nobody's heard of.
It's unsolved.
Yeah.
And do you know if anybody lives there now in Boulder?
I think it was purchased recently, in our research, which is right out there. Yeah.
I tell you, that kind of thing, I would have to do a tear down. There's just no way I would live in a house where a little beauty pageant girl was killed.
I think today, though, people would buy, probably, I don't know if the price of the property, but because it's that, it might
who,
happen.
Why would you want to live there where that, you know, I just feel like that, I mean, I know what you're saying, but but that's so creepy.
People are creepy.
Yeah.
Well, we did an episode, we did a 3-episode part in the room that Janis Joplin died in.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
How interesting, right here why can't I think of the hotel? Not to Chateau.
We have Highland Garden.
Highland Garden Apartments? No.
Hotel, which, mm-hmm. and it used to be the Motor.
Motor City?
It was like the something motor.
Motorhead?
Yeah.
Motor oil?
It was something like that. I've gone through it so many times, but we did 3 episodes in there, and we had a medium come in for the last episode.
Fun. How great. Awesome.
So we're going to do more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where
amazing.
People die.
Amazing. Yeah, I love all of it. Thank you so much for telling the story about... So that was your house growing up. I can't get over it.
Yeah.
The little girl in the yellow dress.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. If I see that in a movie, I'll never stop thinking of you.
Well, I want a piece of that then, because I feel like it's my idea.
Okay. I'll get you 2%. How about 2 points?
Yeah, try to sell that.
I will. I'll get you 2 points on that. I'll send it over to my
on the back end.
IP guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, you guys, we got to wrap it up. I want to thank Jason Horton again so much. You guys follow him over on Twitter at Jason_Horton. And then, of course, follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And hey, I would be remiss not to say I have a brand new show out, as you know, Screwed Up Stories, and I'm so excited about it. My friend, comedian Rachel O'Brien, and I co-host it together. It's all women talking about screwed up stories. It's fast and funny, and if you like Storyworthy, I guarantee you're going to like Screwed Up Stories, because it's like the same template. That's my point.
We didn't need more stories.
These stories are all told by really fearless and funny, funny women. We're getting... just the most talented people. And we've already recorded like 12 and they're dropping, and it's super exciting. We're laughing the whole way through, really. Super fun. So you guys follow Screwed Up Stories over there on Twitter as well at Screw Stories. How about that? Screw Stories. And a big thank you to all the sponsors in the show today. When you guys support my sponsors, you know that you are supporting me, and I thank you. And remember, if you didn't hear a sponsor on the show today, I'm sure you heard one last week, and so, you know, sort of still applies. And don't forget to sign up for my newsletter over at storyworthypodcast.com. All right, you guys, one more time, on behalf of the very talented Jason Horton, hooray! Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.